Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my new series, Parrish. My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life. You know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey, everyone on this show is super horny. If we're going to do a tange, let's do a tange.
Literally.
There's a lot of horniness going on lately. I hit the thing on the tange.
It's The Tangent with The Fred Show.
Giving you all the sh** we couldn't talk about on air.
All right, we're getting right into it. We're getting right into the tange. Why is everyone so horny? I mean, Paulina's horny because she's pregnant. I think that's a real, that's like a real thing.
Yeah. No, it is, yeah.
Is pregnancy horniness.
They say, well, it's tange, I can say this. They say that pregnancy punani is the best one.
I heard that recently.
Yes, yes, I've heard.
Oh, yeah, who said
supposedly.
That?
Supposedly.
Our coworker.
Oh, yeah.
Why do they say it's the best?
What's,
what,
do you want to describe
for you or for
why?
Other people?
They say for the man's, I'm assuming, and Rufio, you can chime in on this if this is true or not, but basically that it's... It just feels better. I guess things are more. I hate the word moist, but more.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, like
and
I guess
it's fluffier.
Yeah, like fluffy, soft. I don't know. Yeah.
Really? Is that true, Rufio?
I couldn't tell you. I've never had a
pregnancy sex.
No.
Mm-mm. Wait, what?
Wait. So, and I'm no. Hold on. It's a safe place. So Jess gets pregnant. You guys just don't.
Yeah. So oh, it's been okay. Like almost four and a half months.
Oh,
wait,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
And no judgment.
Everyone's different.
No judgment whatsoever.
I feel like I think it's me. Like it's weird
oh,
for me.
It's you know.
Yeah.
What I'm saying?
Okay. Right. Some like, men feel like that.
Yeah.
She's got to be like at least like wanting to, right?
Yeah. I'm
if
not
you
sure.
if you were
yeah.
down, maybe you would.
Right. It's
and
just
no judgment
weird for me.
I but like
yeah, maybe she did also.
Oh. Doesn't it help though too? Like with going into labor?
It can. It can.
Yeah.
So if she begs you, like, hey, I'm just at 40 weeks, and she's like, we gotta.
Oh, yeah, it can get it moving.
She's getting another
C-section. Oh, that's
C-section,
right, that's
so.
Right, that's right.
Oh, I did ask a gynecologist I went on a couple dates with, like, are you ejaculating on the baby's head? And
oh.
Sort of.
Oh, yikes.
I mean,
oh, my
kind
God.
Of.
See, I didn't want
exactly.
to hear that.
I mean, sort of,
exactly.
like not
oh
exactly, but kind of.
Like,
I mean,
wait,
like,
where does it go?
Doesn't my cervix go like this, though?
Yeah, there's a barrier, but like, it's
there's
not, it's sort of.
No.
But if you're not dilated, right? You're
I don't,
closed.
I look, I don't know.
Yeah,
we laughed about
I mean,
it. It's
it was,
not like a real thing. I'm not giving medical advice here. I just, it's like,
yeah.
I don't, yeah, I can
some
see
men do
why.
Feel weird about yeah. it.
I can see why
I
that would be
that.
A weird thing to get over.
Especially if you're packing like Drake, you know what I'm saying? You'd be fucking hitting that
well,
thing.
That baby would be like, that poor baby. That would have a dent, you know, coming out.
I mean,
hey, the doc says it's cool and safe. I'm gonna try, but it's not the same for me. I feel funny, if anything.
Yeah,
you feel funny because you just don't feel sexy, or what?
I
is
don't
it?
Feel sexy. I have like pains. I know there's a thing called I call it fire crotch. Like, it's called lightning crotch. Yeah, I texted my friend Nikki. I was like, "What does fire crotch feel like?" And she's like, "You're trying to say lightning crotch," which is a term, I guess. Like you get this really sharp pain that's supposed to like go up your thing. Yeah, but I haven't gotten that. But I'm just really sore.
Fire crotch is different.
I know.
Yeah,
like,
fire crotch is if you have red hair.
It is.
So I'm told.
Yeah. I was like, whoops.
People would have that.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I don't feel sexy. I don't feel like, it's different for me. It's
yeah.
different.
My friend said their dreams were very oddly sexual, but like with weird people. Like my straight friend was like, I had like a lesbian threesome dream with like Miley Cyrus and someone else. And yes. She said she had a quote, wet dream about Joey Tribbiani from Friends.
Whoa.
Someone else said they, yeah, it's just like, I think you have like,
yeah.
I guess some do get really horny. I don't know.
Interesting.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know. There might be a certain point where It might get in my head a little bit. Yeah, but not early on, I don't think. Maybe when you could, when you start to see the bump get and stuff.
Not the sore and plum titties. So everybody's horny here? Is that the message?
It feels like it. It certainly does.
I guess Rufio's horny. We know.
We understand.
We understand why now. Yeah, it's been four and a half months. Everything. You could be like, hey, good morning, man.
I got to get it somewhere.
That's the thing. Now, yeah, maybe that explains why he's coming out now. Because
hole's a hole.
Right. A strong wind. And he's,
I mean.
Oh, that's just normal everyday stuff.
And then Kiki, we know you're horny because you, I mean, the waiting by the phone really got you going. We really learned about you today. So you're a toe-sucking person.
I don't see anything as wrong with a nice surprise. Like, it's just, you just gotta try it. It's just not, it's not bad. Like, I would never not call somebody back because they suck my toes. Like, what? Absolutely.
But is that like a standard move for Big Tim? Like, is that like an everyday move?
No, not every day.
And does he want his toes sucked too?
No. Hell no. Oh, now, I'm not sucking nobody's toes. No, you wouldn't do it. And no, absolutely not.
But you know what? Toes.
And I've seen this discussed on the internet and stuff. But it's so funny that, like, people, and I couldn't say this on the air because I couldn't say it on the air, but it's funny how people will be like, oh my God, you'd put someone's toe in your mouth. It's like, I put your entire vagina in my mouth.
That's
like,
what I'm
I put
saying.
Your ass around my mouth.
Compare those two.
That's what
but
I'm saying,
just saying,
though.
Like, you want to talk about intrusive. My tongue was in your asshole.
Yes.
Like, I mean,
why are you?
Yes.
You're looking right at me. Like, if we won't eat on a fork that, like, drops on the ground, but we'll eat ass.
Right. That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. People are like, oh my God, a toe? It's like, dude, I've had way worse in my mouth. I can assure you of that.
Right.
But the vagina's not worse. It's very nice.
But it's still...
It's not a toe.
It's essentially internal. You're essentially inside someone. A toe is like...
It's a beautiful
just hanging out.
Yeah.
I'm not, trust me, you're talking to the guy who loves to do that. I'm just saying, you know, I'm like, oh my God, a toe. But then I'll go put my mouth other places.
So
and so will
toes?
You. No.
Wow.
No.
He's a germaphobe, so...
Nobody else in his suck a
toe? No one's ever asked me to, though.
I haven't sucked a toe. I've had my toes sucked.
Yeah, I haven't sucked toes.
It was shocking. It was alarming.
Yeah, it hits you out off guard at first, like, but then it's like, okay.
Right. I feel like you get kicked in the face like you're at the fucking, getting a pedicure. You know what I'm saying?
No.
When they try to scrub your feet.
No.
I would also worry, like, as the person receiving, or I did when it happened, like, I was walking around barefoot. Like, I hope they taste good, you know?
I don't think they care.
I want to be.
I don't know.
I
don't know.
Yeah, I can't believe you.
I mean, I've done a lot worse, but like,
same. That's my point. Is I'm not judging it. It's just I don't know. I don't. It doesn't do anything for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the Big Tim like suck your toes every time?
No, but he. I mean,
yeah.
I'm down if he wanted to.
Yeah,
it's not that. It's
Does it feel good, like, to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just something different, you know?
Well, that makes sense.
What is the strangest thing, Kiki, that you've been asked to do by someone else? You don't have to specify which partner.
To be honest, nothing. Like, I've never had anything that I feel is strange. Like, we have played with handcuffs before.
Okay.
With an ex. Because I tried that with Big Tim. He wasn't down. So that's probably the only thing.
No one has to do this, but go around the room. Like, what would you say is the, by the way, by strange, I realize there are people listening going, well, that's not strange. But I just mean out of the ordinary. Like, if you were to put, like, just normal sex into this bucket here or this envelope, you know, I think for some people, you go outside the circle, it starts to get a little weird. For example, I had and I've told the story before, but I had a girl who I never, ever would have expected, a very buttoned up, like, accounting type girl, asked me to pee on her. And
I remember this.
I have pee fright as it is.
Same.
So there's, you know, and I know it's like a subservience thing or it's a dominant thing or whatever. And I couldn't do it because I don't know. I don't like my own bodily function. Yeah. So I'm really not. I don't know. And she's like, we'll get in the shower. We'll do this. And I'm like, no, we're not. We're not actually going to do that. No.
This is my bed. Like, I'm not going to pee in my own bed.
No, I was in the shower. But then funny thing is, a couple of years later, I saw her out with another guy. I think she might be married to him now. And I'm like, oh, well, he pisses on her. So.
He better.
I mean, because it was a deal breaker. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. And she's like, well, I really like it. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to do it. So that was kind of that. Jason?
Someone asked me once to put one of those metal rings around, like, your junk. Have you ever seen those?
Oh, a cock ring?
Yeah.
I thought they were supposed to be rubber, though.
I've used one of those.
Yeah, it scares me.
It doesn't, it's not, like, it doesn't, there. It was a vibrating C-ring.
Like,
no, I've seen those. No, but this was just like a metal
one aspect that, like, of it concerns me. Yeah. At least rubber, I feel like,
to make you harder for longer. But like, it weirded me out. Like, I don't want like anything clamping down there.
And
you know?
Fun
like,
story: his mom found the wrapper when he was moving.
Oh no!
The concrete.
Ooh,
yeah.
Damn.
I think I've told you guys this story before, probably recently. I don't know. You know, I have only 10 stories. I only tell the same 10 stories. But when I moved here, it was so super quick that it happened like in 10 days, and it was over the holidays too, so I wasn't even here. I wasn't in Charlotte. Like, they're like, hey, sign this contract, you're coming January 1st. I'm like, well, shit, I'm going home for Christmas. They're like, don't worry, we'll pay for everything. Like, we'll send people to your house and put your car, and we'll pack everything. Nice. Everything goes on the truck, and like, don't even worry about it. When you get to Chicago, your shit will be there, which isn't quite how it happened, but nonetheless, they did go in and they did pack everything. I was not there for any of that. And then what I didn't realize was I got the unpacking service too, which is nice in that they take the boxes away. But what I didn't realize is they just literally take everything out of every box and just put it wherever. And then it's out, and then you put it away. And in retrospect, it's like, I guess I would have rather it had stayed in boxes until I was ready to go box by box. Because to me, in like my compartmentalized mind, it was my OCD mind. Like, anyway, so my mom and my sister flew in because they met the moving truck on like a Thursday while I was at work, and to help the process, let the movers in and like start the process for me. And I get back and there's like this one box sitting in the kitchen, and my sister's going through it. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And my mom's like, I guess those are some souvenirs from some guests you've had over the years. And it was a bunch of like women's stuff. It was like sunglasses, a pearl necklace, hair ties, like just a bunch of several pair of sunglasses. And my sister like takes out some Gucci sunglasses and she goes, can I have these? I'm like, take them. I don't know who's there. Like, take them. No one ever came back, lost and found to get them.
We really had lost and found.
And then there was one single joint in there too, in that same box. Because I guess they found a single joint in
my box.
Yeah, right. But it just made me realize that maybe in the future, if I, God forbid, I ever have to move, I'll handle it myself. Certain things.
Yeah. Certain things. I will say I'm usually like down for whatever, but I will say a guy slapped me across the face one time and I didn't like that. I know a lot of people like it. I like getting spanked. I like do anything to the rest of my body, but that was just like a really dirty feeling.
Spitting thing is one that I
love.
See, I know you do, and a lot of people do.
Well, spitting.
You've mentioned it a time or two.
But only if I like am like in love with someone,
see,
or like enthralled in their spit. Like,
That's where shit gets weird for me, Kaylin, is like, I guess I'm not gonna say I'm vanilla. But I guess I'm like goal oriented. Like, I want to do activities. I tend to be like focused on, I'm a pleaser. So I'm trying to be focused on the stuff, like getting right to the point of what I think you're going to like. Mm. And I don't tend to venture too far outside of like relatively normal stuff. But it's not that I wouldn't. It's that like, I don't know how to know for sure early on if you want me to do that, to the point about being slapped. Like, trust me, I've had people who love getting their hair pulled or love getting choked, and then I've gone to do that move on other people, and they're like, what are you doing? And there's only kind of one way to find out.
Right.
Certain things, unless you want to sit down and have a conversation about
it,
which is
not sexy.
No.
Which is not sexy,
you
right?
You got to feel it out. You got to just start things slow. I mean, like, you just have to like grab her hair and slowly start and see.
Well, which is what I did. I mean, I didn't like take out a lock or two, you know? Like,
You just gotta. I just like want men to like go off vibes more. Like, just lightly try something.
What's the vibe to tell me you want me to spit in your mouth?
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Because I don't.
Exactly.
Wait, you want to spit in his mouth?
No. You said you like spit. When you say that, you want him to just spit on you or like in your mouth or like where?
Okay, so Jason wants it on him. Yeah. I think that's. I don't want that.
Okay.
I just have had it done like with just one guy, and I liked it, and he just said open your mouth, and so if I didn't want it, I wouldn't open my mouth. And so I did, and he did, and I liked it.
I'm just trying to help the fellas or whoever figure out how to feel the vibe. I think you just gotta do stuff. I'd be just doing stuff, and if you say no, I'm like, okay, cool. But like, if not, then like,
I don't know. But spitting in someone's mouth is
like, how do you feel the vibe?
And also, like, is it like you?
If you grab a girl's face and say open your mouth and she doesn't want that, that's the time you'll know.
I
want
to go home.
If you know she doesn't want her hair pulled, you'll know because you'll grab it and start lightly pulling, and she won't be like,
Okay.
You know, okay. I think reading the room is okay.
Yeah, something's going on with me lately, though. Like, I'm not reading the, like, the vibes are just off. I don't know if I need to get, like, my junk saged or something. Like, there's just weird
shit.
I have
sage.
Ever since I was sort of talking to somebody and for a while, then that ended, I feel like I must be projecting something weird. But I just can't get a read on, like, what people are wanting and what they're after right now. I don't know. Like, I'm not calibrated properly.
It is what you put out there. And I also think it's right now how you feel about yourself. Like, I think that you should be more confident than you are right now. And so I think you're just going through something. But I do think, like, you need to go through this and just feel it.
People are acting weird. I went out with this one girl a couple times recently.
People are acting weird.
And she made it a point to be like, I want you to treat me like not good, basically, like in bad. Like, I want to be disrespected or whatever. And then I'm like, all right. And then, I mean, sure,
that
okay.
That was your reaction.
All right, I can do that.
I mean, all right.
I can do that.
Sure. And then the communication got kind of weird after the fact. And then, like, I don't know. But then the other day, I'm texting with her, and she's like, I'm on my way to church. I'll pray for you. And she was doing all this, like, weird religious pious shit. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, the shit you wanted. And look, I'm not judging anybody, whatever. But like, she was doing, like, literally, I was almost like, I thought maybe it was a joke or like somebody else was fucking with me or something, because it was like, I don't know if I can see you anymore. Like, I'm going to church to pray for my sins, and you should too.
That's her own shit.
It was this whole pious. Oh, yeah, it really was elitist. Also, we're the same religion, she and I. Mm-hmm. But I cannot stand. I don't know what was going on, but I cannot stand it when people stand on religion like somehow they're superior to you because they go to church or believe they have a more intimate connection with God or whatever. It's like that's contradictory to the whole purpose.
The whole purpose. Yeah.
The whole purpose is you are not better than me.
That's right.
Right. You have to know that's her own shit, though.
But it was just so weird. I'm like, you wanted me to disrespect you, and now, like...
Mm-hmm. She feels guilty about it.
And now you're, like, telling me you're going to church and praying for me and all this weird shit.
She's
I'm like, what are you
that's
doing?
Fucking
I would
weird.
Say, no, I'm good, thanks.
She's a weirdo.
Yeah.
Please don't pray for me.
Yeah.
I'm so triggered by people who use religion as some form of power trip, because I have had it happen to me in a couple different dynamics where it's like, I'm less than because you've got a Bible on your desk and because you can recite Bible verses. And you know what the interesting part is? In one of those two cases, it was the person who was projecting this stuff onto me was one of the worst human beings that I've ever known.
Yes.
Like, truly one of the worst human beings. A liar, a cheat, deceptive, gaslighting. I mean, just a really bad person. And yet the whole time it's like, but you don't know Jesus. And I'm going, I don't think you do either, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's so weird.
The cockiness that it takes to think that your chosen religion and your relationship with God is the right one for someone else, and that you have all the answers and you know what's right, is concerning. Like, you should have your own relationship with your own religion, your own God, whatever you want to believe in. Yep. But thinking your way is the right way is so gross. Like, bro.
I also know some people for whom it's a power thing. Like, I know some people who have become members of clergy in one way or another. Like, I happen to know someone very well who is a Catholic deacon. This is a man who's been divorced, I think, 4 times.
Oh, I thought you were
maybe more than that. everyone has an opportunity to redeem themselves. Mm-hmm. But I have a very difficult time believing that fundamentally anything changed other than you now can wear a collar and you somehow have now become an authority. Like, you now all of a sudden, because of what that represents, are able to advise other people on how to live. I'm like, dude, you paid for that. Like, you buy that. Mm-hmm. I think in the Catholic Church that there are churches that will make you a deacon because you don't have to. You can be married. I don't know. You did all this.
Yeah. There's training. Like, you have to go through the training.
It's well, yeah.
Like, but, you know, and yeah, you could be married. You could be divorced.
But like, who gets to decide that you're now all of a sudden you are going to tell me? But like, what about you? And that, by the way, I think some of the more valuable advice you can get from people are people who have redeemed themselves. I just don't necessarily know if people are redeemed or they just now feel this power because if you're a member of organized religion, you are to respect clergy. But like, who made you God? You know what I mean? It's a very confusing thing for me. It's why I have a difficult time with organized religion.
Yes, everybody should just have their own relationship with whoever they believe in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the story I told you maybe a year or two ago about a guy I worked with who wouldn't be my friend because I wouldn't go to church with him. It made me uncomfortable. He was my friend. He was my coworker, and church was very important to him. And this particular church was very important to him. I didn't really identify with with that. I didn't feel it. I didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. And basically he was like, well, then he basically wrote me off as a friend because I wouldn't go with him. And then maybe a year or so ago, he writes me a note telling me that he's proud of me, that I appear to have made something of myself. And I'm like, this is the bullshit I'm talking about.
Whoa.
Like, this is what I mean. Like, because you go to church and you have a relationship with God that's unique to you, somehow now you're able to tell other people that they appear in your mind like they've done something good with their lives. Like, that's not up to you. Like, that's, right. You're not God.
Yeah. I opened up to someone one time about, like, I was struggling with my mental health, and they advised me to get a prayer app, and I was just like, fuck, I need, like, medication.
Oh, when they start using the church, man.
I'm like, and a lot of people, I think they mean well. Like, if you say, like,
it works for you, maybe.
Have you considered this, and I'd like to invite you? That's one thing. But then if someone says, I'm not comfortable with that, then that doesn't have to change the nature of the friendship fundamentally.
Right.
Like, you offered it because it's helped you. I mean, look, that's like me saying I take vitamin D every day. Have you guys considered that? And you're like, I don't know. Maybe I'll take vitamin D, or maybe I won't. And I'm like, well, you won't take it? Fuck you. I hate you. I mean, it's like, that's how I choose to live. And if you don't want to live that way, you don't have to. I can still be your friend. I don't know. It's just, it's very, and I know you go to church a lot. Yes. And Kiki, I know it's an important part of your life. And, you know, I don't know. It's,
she helps the kids at church, right?
Yeah.
You run the tech and you do all that?
I do. That is yes. sweet. Yes, when I met church. I've been missing a little bit lately, but yeah.
Do you feel obligated, or do you feel like it's actually a calling for you to go there and do that?
There's like ups and downs. So like sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I got to go do this again. You feel that obligation, but I see the way it has helped transform me as a person and the way it's helped transform my life. So then that's why I continue to go. So it keeps me grounded, it keeps me humble, but again, that's what works for me. And so when, like, and Caitlin just made a point of, like, she was going through something and she was telling somebody and they offered her a prayer app. Now I think they had good intentions,
right? That's
when they
what
did
I mean
that.
Yeah.
And it's not, and just because somebody tries to offer you or invite you to what they believe in or what has helped them, I don't want you guys to feel offended by that, because it's like, I don't think they meant any harm. It just didn't work for you. Now, if they kept pressing you about it after you said it, you know, you weren't interested.
Or if they write you off because you weren't doing it.
Yeah, then that's one like, thing. Yeah. But I think sometimes people, you take your own experiences. That's the only thing we can live by. And I just know how God has helped me in my life. So I want to share that with other people who may be struggling. You know what I'm saying? So maybe it can help them in that way too. So I don't want you to feel offended. And you are entitled to feel however you want, but I don't want you to. I think their intention may not have been to offend you, but instead like, oh, maybe let me share what helped me.
I mean, there's like more detail. Like, it was a specific diagnosis of like a chemical imbalance in my brain. So like medication was required. Like, I wish that God praying would save it.
Yeah.
I had tried everything up until that point. So like, I think that's where it turned me off. Also like the person and the way it was delivered.
Okay.
If you had done that to me, I would have been appreciative.
Okay.
It's just different. And everybody's going off their own experiences. Hey, this is what worked for me. And I would never get offended by that.
No, and know in AA, I think a lot they do talk about like God or a source, and
very much.
Think that helped a lot of people too when it comes to like addiction. But I think what triggers me a lot with like the Caitlin situation is I think growing up, I've heard a lot of like going to church or like praying things off or whatever, but it's like, it's deeper than that, you know what I mean? So sometimes I'm just like, damn, like, you know, we know more now at this big age. Mm-hmm. Like, let's be for real and know that, like, you know, therapy is important, and like, you know, there's certain medication we can take or just do certain things, right?
Yeah.
I think prayer is a great place to start, and it might help like some people, like you were saying.
There's statistics that show that like religion helps people. Like,
100%.
There's proof. And I, by the way, do pray. I just don't feel the need to like advertise it. And I think a lot of people would be shocked by that, but like, I believe in God. I pray, I have my own relationship. I just like don't need to share that with people.
No, you don't need to do that.
My Nana was a Catholic, very, very, very devoted.
Right.
And she believed in blind faith. And I remember I would ask her all kinds of questions about Catholicism that I just didn't understand.
Yeah.
And the answer for the most part was it just is.
It just is.
And it's like that worked for her, and it provided answers for her during very difficult times. I mean, she was married for, I think, over 60 years. You know, she had heart issues. My grandfather was very sick, had cancer. Mm-hmm. And they got through so much stuff in a very long life. And I think there were times where she just, when she wanted answers and she didn't understand why, then the Bible and Catholicism gave her those answers. Right. I think it's why a lot of people do flock to religion, especially when they're going through a hard time. Like Scientology is another one, for example. Oh, they have all the answers. Mm-hmm. If you subscribe, they'll tell you everything. They'll tell you exactly what's going on in their mind. And I think people really find comfort in that. And they love that. And I guess there have been times where I've been really low and I've wondered, why is this happening? Like, why is it happening? Where's the lesson? And I feel like that's the Catholicism that's like rooted deep within the back of my mind because I grew up with it, was someone's watching over me. Someone's guiding me. Why is this happening? What did I do to deserve it? The Catholic guilt comes in.
Right.
You know, what can I do to adjust it? So I guess in some ways, you know, fundamentally, it can help shape a direction. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't know that everybody has to see it the same way.
No.
I mean, wars are fought over this.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
And it's just because I don't go to your church and subscribe to your pastor who wears Yeezys and, you know.
Don't get me started.
My relationship is any less valuable than yours.
No.
And by the way, if that works for you, that's amazing. But the entire purpose of this is not to judge me because I won't do what you do.
That's right. Yes. Love thy neighbor.
Yes.
Damn it.
Yeah. It's also hard for me when something really fucking terrible happens, and a lot of that happens in this world. That's where people lose me. And when someone tells me that it like happens for a reason, like the school shooting with my sister, you know, like God has a plan. I'm just like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah,
like,
there are a few things, and most of them involve kids, where I don't understand the purpose.
Yes.
You know, working with kids at Lurie Children's, for example, and like going bedside me, a lot of these kids, a lot of them don't survive. A lot of them do, but some of them don't. And you, I've yet to understand what taking a child from a parent is teaching anyone. Now, granted, there must be a lesson. There's got to be a reason. This is life. I understand. But like that, there are a few things that just doesn't work for me. Say, well, God has a plan. What in the hell could that be?
Right. And don't say that to someone when they're in like the darkest time because they don't want to hear that the plan was for that awful thing to fucking happen.
Because that particular thing I have seen cause rifts and shakeups in people's lives. I mean, a lot of those parents get divorced.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll never be the same. And this is just one example. And I'm sure everybody listening has their own example of a thing that they just in their mind, like, why?
Yeah.
Why? And that one is particularly hard for me. But again, if you whatever religion you believe in, there's probably an explanation as to why that happens. And that's where that blind faith comes in, where you have to be like, well, you know, this is awful and I'm going through it, but the reason it happened is because God has a plan or whatever. Insert whatever your belief is here. And I guess that can provide people with a lot of comfort. But I tend to be too analytical, and the blind faith thing is just so hard.
And my nana
would just sit there and go, it just is. It just is. Right. Like, Christopher, it just is. And it's like,
I need more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, honestly.
I honestly lost a lot of faith after my mom passed away. Like,
really?
I was just like, why? Why would you, like, you know what I'm saying? If you believe in something, like, and then you're...
Right. Worst nightmare. Close,
yeah, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And it's just like... How can I believe anymore? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I've had conversations with, you know, me and him by ourselves, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I cursed that man out. And I was like, like, this is fucked up. But
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I 100% get it.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I suppose religion, if you talk to a pastor or a priest or somebody, clergy about it, they would give you something to the effect of everything happens for a reason and there's a plan and you were supposed to learn something. And but again, how? Like, how?
Especially like in the Filipino culture, like you literally like pray every day, like every night everyone gets together. I'm like, for what? Like, I was honestly just sitting there like, what is this for? Like, it's like my mom's
the
gone.
The worst has happened.
Right. Yeah. It's already happened. Like, what are we praying for? Like, you know what I'm saying? She's gone. Like, you know, he took her away, and like, why? And then you got to sit there and pray every day. I was just like, fuck this bullshit.
A lot of people, feel that way. Right. I get it. I totally get it.
100%.
And by the way, like, there are people listening who might be triggered by this conversation, and they might have the answers, and it's like, that's wonderful for you. I think the whole point here is that everyone has their own individual experience and their own struggles with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, you could listen and go, well, if you would just subscribe to XYZ, then this wouldn't be so hard for you and you wouldn't have to think of these answers. That's not the way my brain works.
Exactly.
My brain works in such a way that I'm analytical. I want answers. I overthink it. I need to understand why. And again, religion will give you those answers. You don't have. You may not agree with them, but if you buy in, then there they are. I don't know. I'm like Rufio, though. I've seen some things happen, and some things have happened to me where I'm just like, Where's the... Okay, so there's a lesson. Sure, there's a lesson, but what? This is right. The worst possible thing that could happen, and why?
Yeah, you got fucking horrible-ass people on this planet.
Right.
They're alive and living, and then my mom, who's a 100%. Fucking... didn't do nothing wrong in her life.
100%.
Is gone. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe and follow and trust and all that shit. So.
And then the Catholics in the room start to... I don't mean to be controversial here, but what happens to me is then I start to say... What did I do to deserve that?
I did that too. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, well, because Catholic guilt. Well, I obviously am not living right if these bad things are happening to me. So I need to change. And I suppose maybe that's not a horrible thing to every now and again assess, you know, the choices that you're making and whatever else. But at the same time, it's not necessarily helpful for me to then believe that I did it. Like it's my karma that made a bad thing happen to someone else or that happened to me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know how helpful that is either, except for, you know, now that we're talking about it, I suppose every now and again to check in with yourself and be like, hey, look, you know, Catholic guilt is a real thing and something bad happened and did I put something out there to make it happen and, you know, what choices am I making? And I don't think, by the way, it has anything to do with that, but
no.
I've had a few moments, especially lately, where I've had to check in with myself and be like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I also don't want to believe in a higher power that would punish you for being human and making a mistake. Like, that's not something that I want to subscribe to. I do believe in karma, but I think intention is really fucking important when you're talking about karma. And I just don't want to believe that we're getting like punished for doing something that we didn't mean to do that was bad.
Yeah, and I certainly hope on a religious standpoint, again, I only can really come from a standpoint of being a Catholic, raised Catholic, but I certainly hope that if I'm ever evaluated someday that it's not, you know, item by item, that it's kind of the sum of all parts.
It is. You got to just be a good person. Like, just try your best. Like, that's what it's about.
No, he's
it's,
definitely going to pull out that list on you.
Right, Fred, I mean,
every dog he saves, it's like, check, check. No,
I do.
Like, you just have to have a good heart,
man. If I help out some kid with cancer or like...
he's like, that one woman I ghosted is fine.
Or, you know, whatever. Every dog. I do believe that that checks one off of some crazy. Shitty thing I've done. I actually do believe that. Jason, you probably had the most intimate relationship with it all, and you've been very quiet.
The church loves him.
I won't force you into this conversation, but your parents wanted you to do all these things in the church growing up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had to do it, and I think getting out of that... I mean, I went to Catholic school for 18 years. Like, I was religion all day, every day for 18 years.
Do you feel, in some ways, like it delayed... you being who you are because you were afraid to sort of be more, I mean, I don't know.
I think it's a combination of religion and, I mean, just being gay in high school is just never easy for anybody. But looking back at it now, it's very much like, okay, I didn't meet a lot of different types of people until I got out of that part of my life. Right. So like, I didn't realize that there were different beliefs and because everyone I grew up with and was surrounded with my whole life. That's why I honestly say, and this is probably a controversial take too, I would never do Catholic school if I had kids. I think it's a waste of money.
It's fucking expensive as fuck.
It shelters
shameful
you.
And
well, I don't blame my parents because they went to public school and very, very much were of the belief of this will prepare you for college and this will like get you farther ahead in life.
Oh, I know where your dad went.
As someone that like lived and went through it, I would never do that to my kid just because it's, I feel like I was sheltered from a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't mean to make excuses for the amount of ignorance that is out there. And I don't mean to pick on any one particular group, because I think ignorance comes from all angles. But I will say this much. My parents, I grew up in an affluent neighborhood. My parents worked there. They grew up in a relatively affluent neighborhood, but they worked to provide more than they had. They sent me to the best school in town. They sent me to the best college I could get into. And I have to say, it was all white people. Literally, I did not know a black person until halfway through college, maybe. Like, because there weren't any. I think there was one Hispanic kid that I grew up with. But, like, my point is.
That's a disservice.
Right. No, my point is, though, I can see why people, their views can be the way they are. Because, like, in my case, I went from Scottsdale to Highland Park, Dallas. I probably could have married somebody from there and then lived there and never left the bubble of people who are just like me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think what happened was I got a radio job in college, thank God, and I was immediately out of that circle and I was around people from all different walks. I mean, there were people who were way more successful than me, way less successful, who came from more, who came from less. And I feel like that really shaped my viewpoint and I changed quickly.
Yes.
And you became black.
I became one. I myself didn't know any, so I made myself one.
Oh my god!
I mean, yeah. But like, honestly, I don't know that a lot of people, whether you come from this area or this area or this area of the spectrum, I feel like people need to try a lot harder and need to be a lot more mindful of the fact that they don't know what they don't know.
Yes,
and a lot of people don't know. They don't. You know, I don't know. You make associations. All white people are this way. All black people are this way. Well, how much time have you spent with people who are different from you? And the answer for a lot of people is not much.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like because you grow up in this neighborhood and so you surround yourself with these people and then you grow up with these people and you follow in the footsteps of these people. And it's like, I don't think very many people are out there trying very hard to learn about other people's viewpoints. And that's one blessing of this job is that we hear from people every day who are different. We hear from people, we meet people all the time, all different walks of life, because it's just part of it, because we serve everybody. But you can see it on the text. You can see it on the text. These people will write like these things that are like, you clearly have no idea what you're talking about. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that is the viewpoint of somebody who's never been there. And I think I think we see a lot of it in politics.
I was going to say.
In voting.
America.
You know, everyone's got an opinion. It's like when I hear people talk about geopolitics, I'm like, Have you made any effort to even understand what you're talking about, or are you regurgitating points that you saw on TV?
Oh yeah.
Or that you read on the website from the news network you trust.
Buzz terms, always.
You know, and it's like, I don't know, travel the world a little bit. And I know not everybody gets to do that, but like, if you have the opportunity, why don't you go to some of these places or like meet some people that are different, really different than you, and have these conversations? And it's kind of amazing how people who think that they're so different, when you come together, very different people tend to have very similar viewpoints about very basic things. But instead, we just assume that everyone's, you know, that no one else knows what we know, and no one else has lived like we have, and no one else, you know, there are no other ways to look at things than the way that we were raised to look at them. And I feel like that's kind of why we are where we are. And now amplify that with social media and everything else. Now you can spew your biased bullshit.
Yes.
You know, and
I love watching like little kids when you just see them play and there's just none of that there yet.
Yes.
And you don't, it's just so beautiful. And like, it really is up to, you know, the parents and the world to like, it influences you whether good or bad. I watched it happen a lot in college. Like, I got to college and I saw so many people be like ignorant about shit because of how they grew up. And I was just so grateful that I went to like a diverse high school. But you know, you see everyone's a product of their environment and certainly their parents' beliefs.
Well, it's like Polly, my niece, she's turning 3 this month. And my sister works at a very exclusive, very bougie school. And everybody has money. You have to have money. You have to be smart. And the interesting thing is she's in like a like kind of a preschool or a preschool kind of thing, like a pre-kindergarten.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to my sister, I'm talking to her, and I'm like, you know, I don't know, this is a very niche environment. But what I didn't realize is that program is only for employees' kids.
Oh,
and
that's
so
nice.
There's a lot of diversity. So Polly's not necessarily surrounded by, there are people who are different than she, but like, I hate to say it, these are real folks. These are the kids of real people because, you know, I don't know, so-and-so's rich kid's daughter goes there and so-and-so, whatever. Everyone's got, you know, millions of dollars and everybody grew up this kind of way. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh man, you know, I kind of grew up like that. Amanda kind of grew up like that. Like, I don't know, is there benefit to maybe Polly, you know, experiencing more diversity? And she is because those aren't the rich kids. Those aren't the kids that look just like Polly. Those aren't the kids that grew up just like her.
She's learning Spanish, right?
Yeah. And to your point, she doesn't know the difference.
It's so sweet to watch
really
little kids play.
She has no idea how different the people around her are necessarily or what she has that they don't or whatever, because they're kind of all equal.
There's this video online of this little kid being shown like pictures of like different, you know, races or whatever. And like, they ask the little kid, like, what do you see about this picture? And the little kid's just like, oh, he's wearing blue shorts. Like, it's just, it's very pure and beautiful, and I hate when I see it go away, but
so it's got to be a struggle. Like, I friends of mine, like, you know, I got to send my kid to this school and it's $50,000 a year and this and that, and I know what they're thinking. It's, I want to provide my kid with the very best of everything, but sometimes I wonder, is the very best actually the very best, like, from a, you know, lifelong perspective?
Like, I think about that often.
To
be completely honest, because I'm going to be for real. I don't want my kids to go where I went. Like, it's just, she's just not going to do that. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, well, what are the options then? Like, exactly what you're saying. It's like, do I do that and do a disservice to her? Like, I don't want her to go to Catholic school and be sheltered and not know anything to be street smart. Like, you know what I mean? She's not going to know anything. It's like, I don't know. I think about this a lot. It's like an internal struggle.
So you know? Wouldn't want her to go
where I went? Absolutely not.
No.
No.
And why is that?
I don't like the public school system, and I'm a product of it. I don't like it right now, to be completely transparent.
That's fair.
And especially like my high school. No, like I wouldn't. Like, I'm not shitting on it. I had a great high school experience. But then it's like, I don't know where else to send her, you know, because it would be like, is she going to go to the bougie school? Can I even afford the fucking bougie school? Right. Is the other question.
Well, and I know there are a lot. We've made a lot of like generalizations here, too. But not every kid that goes to a bougie school is bad. Not every kid that goes to a, you know, inner city school is bad.
Of course not.
But I would agree, though, that like, I don't know. I have a great friend whose kid goes to a very prominent bougie school in town, and they're successful, relatively wealthy people. And she told me the other day that this kid is the only kid in the 10 kids in the class that doesn't, whose parents don't own a private jet.
What?
You know, and it's like, no, I mean, and I'm not saying that these parents or these kids are shitty, sorry, but if every vacation you go on is on a private jet and you've never walked through the real terminal and flown Southwest Airlines before, and
we
like,
are different.
I think it's very hard, even if you have the best intentions,
of course,
to balance out, you know, I don't know. I would imagine it's a struggle, but again,
these
are people who are like, I want my kid to have the very best that money can buy, but then you have to assess whether that is actually the very best.
You want better than what you had, and that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I don't want my daughter to fall into, like, just certain things that, like, I've seen in my high school. I just don't want that.
But see, then there's a whole set of different problems.
Right.
The kid, like, there were things I didn't see and experience, but there are things I did see and experience, like absentee parents and a shitload of expendable income and drugs and
so much drugs
and suicide. I mean, and I'm not saying these things don't happen everywhere, but it's just a whole new set of problems. But here you are, here we are supposedly insulated from that because, well, everybody has money and everyone's smart. So nothing bad's going to happen. Oh no, really bad stuff happens.
No, it happens everywhere. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Right. Exactly. So it's an interesting battle. You know?
Well, we went from
spitting in mouth.
Toe sucking to spitting in mouth.
Horny to holy.
Religion.
To pissing on people. To religion. To schools.
Yes. We are the world.
Horny to holy.
Thank you.
So I think we went from one of our worst podcasts to probably one of our better ones, but people will still like the shitty one anyway. So if you're still listening, thanks. That's the Tang.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.